would even come up to the early 30s and see a man grappling with the problems of the bankruptcy of his nation and come with an eloquent cry that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. But I wouldn't stop there. Strangely enough, I would turn to the Almighty and say, if you allow me to live just a few years in the second half of the 20th century, I will be happy. Now that's a strange statement to make because the world is all messed up. The nation is sick. Trouble is in the land, confusion all around. That's a strange statement. But I know somehow that only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. And I see God working in this period of the 20th century in a way that men in some strange way are responding. Something is happening in our world. The masses of people are rising up, and wherever they are assembled today, whether they are in Johannesburg, South Africa, Nairobi, Kenya, Accra, Ghana, New York City, Atlanta, Georgia, Jackson, Mississippi, or Memphis, Tennessee, the cry is always the same. We want to be free.
Davey D, hanging out with you. We like to sometimes check back in with people, especially after earth-shattering events have taken place. And as you know, a couple of years ago, all eyes were on London, especially as they had their uprisings. One of the people that we had on that was walking us through it was Lee Jasper. He was the former senior political advisor for the mayor. He now is the chair of the London Race and Criminal Justice Consortium. We have him on the line, and there's still stuff jumping off overseas across in the pond. So, Lee, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great. How are things in San Francisco?
Things are rocking and rolling. As you know, all eyes are on the Supreme Court as we are getting ready to deal with Proposition 8. And so a lot of people are kind of figuring out how that's going to go. And of course, we're battling with Monsanto and them getting more power than the government. So those are two pressing issues. And of course, we have our police brutality, stop and frisk trials going on in New York. But there's a lot of things going on in your way, and we wanted to talk to you about it. So how are things?
Well, over in the United Kingdom, London, Europe generally, we're suffering probably one of the most difficult times ever faced in the history of black people settlement in Europe. What's being called over here the decade of austerity, the decade of public sector cuts to budgets, has seen in the United Kingdom over 500,000 public sector jobs disappear since 2010. A lot of those have been targeted at black public sector workers, particularly black women. We've seen black youth unemployment raise up to the same level as that as youth unemployment in Spain and Greece, which is 56% in the United Kingdom currently. And those figures are 18 months old. The government is dodging and weaving, giving us the most recent figures, because I think that they feel that the announcement of an increase on 56% would lead to civil unrest. We've got increases in stop and search, the equivalent of your stop and frisk. We've just had four police officers arrested for the with suspicion of murder and manslaughter of Kingsley Burrell, a young black man in Birmingham, in the Midlands of the country. Of course, when you then begin to look further abroad from the United Kingdom and you begin to assess the difficulties facing Africans in southern Spain, in France, in Italy, Americans may not know, but there are over nearly 30 million Africans in Europe, throughout the European countries. But particularly off the coast of Spain and Morocco, we're seeing thousands of Africans who are seeking to escape North Africa and get into the southernmost part of Europe, which is Spain, trying to access the European market. And these boat people are dying in their thousands, being spotted by military of both the United Kingdom and the NATO forces, but right. being left to starve and drift on the Mediterranean Ocean.
Now, let me stop you there for a second, because I want to kind of get some context to this.
Yeah.
When we talk about black people fleeing North Africa, what first comes to mind for many of us is what we saw going down in Libya when NATO jumped in there and did all this stuff. It was black people that caught hell.
Hell.
There were black people being lynched. Nobody wants to talk about that. 50,000 people put in cages. Nobody wants to talk about that. This is all under NATO, not under Gaddafi or anything. This is the rebels that we were supposed to be championing that have forced black people, many of them migrant workers, to flee. So now these black people are now seeking refuge in southern parts of Europe, and they're being turned down now. What's happening?
Yeah, that's precisely what's happening. You know, the reactionary forces armed by NATO have gone on a ethnic cleansing, a racial ethnic cleansing of Libya, North Africa generally. What we're seeing is thousands of Africans seeking to get in to safety of Europe and being denied access. And being denied access, people need to realize that what I'm talking about is that boats with hundreds of people on them making the way across the Mediterranean Ocean. It's only a few miles, but they're being stranded. The NATO forces, military forces, are preventing them landing, are not providing any assistance or aid to them, such as water or food, are not towing them to a nearest port of safety. And so we've seen African children and men and women literally starve and dehydrate on the seas of the Mediterranean as a consequence.
Wow. Now, complicating this, and this is where we really wanted to get into some nuts and bolts with you, is what we're hearing is over in Europe, as these austerity measures are playing out, not only are black people being targeted, but there's also a lot of white supremacy on the rise and all that. So can you speak to that? And it seems to be pretty similar in terms of targeting people in the public sector, as we see what's going on in the United States with the postal workers, where you have a large black population. We've seen in a lot of the public sector unions where there are a lot of black folks who were told to get into those jobs because they would be secure. Now they've been finding them to be insecure. So what's going on with respect to the supremacy and the targeting of black people within Europe itself?
Well, what you find, of course, any student of history will know that when European national economies decline, racism and organized fascism increases. And that's the picture in Europe currently. And so both here in the United Kingdom, we have a United Kingdom Independence Party that has come out of nowhere and is attracting huge levels of popular support from particularly white people in the United Kingdom. And its policies are anti-immigrant, profoundly racist, and targeted at black folks. And they are the tail that is wagging the dog, much as though the Tea Party, I think, affects Republican mainstream thinking. Mm. And so the Having made some spectacular electoral successes just of late, the Labour Party has now the party that is traditionally supposed to represent our communities and working communities has moved to the right on the issue of immigration. David Cameron today just made a speech saying he wants to deny immigrants access to housing, access to the health services, access to welfare benefits. And so we've seen the English Defence League, which is a organised criminal conspiracy against black people, parading on the name of a Democratic Party that is organising targeted, racially and religiously offensive actions, violent racist attacks on Muslim communities, and throughout Europe. In Greece, we have a fascist party called Greek Dawn. This party has been running through with uniformed thugs throughout the streets of Athens and Greece, attacking, lynching, calling for the outright murder of Africans in Greece, in southern Italy, those Africans who had made it to the coast and who are seeking to sell their wares in local market stalls to earn some money to feed themselves and their families, are also being brutally attacked. And of course, in France, we see the rise of Jean-Marie Le Pen's Le Front National Party. His daughter now is heading that party and making huge strides. Anders Breivik, he was the white supremacist in Norway who took a gun and killed scores of what he saw as left-wing Muslim and black supporters of the left-wing party, Labour Party, in Norway 2 years ago. And wherever we look across Europe, we see that as austerity and the economic climate deteriorates, so racism rises. And this is being fanned, of course, by the politicians who are keen to distract the populace, distract the people from the real architects of the economic crisis. That's the bankers, the fat cap plutocrats, the corporate tax avoiders, all of which are being shielded from the wrath of the people, who are being, if you like, had over, mugged by politicians who seek to target black people and immigrants as the cause of the ills and the current economic declines in Europe generally.
We're talking with the former senior political advisor to the mayor of London, Lee Jasper, out in UK right now, getting an update as to what is happening with black folks and people of color on the ground as austerity hits Europe. You know, they call it austerity over where you're at, and here we call it the sequester. your thoughts on that? I mean, it seems like it's a lot of hocus pocus to avoid some sort of connecting the dots, but it's still the same thing, right?
Smoke and mirrors. I think that whatever they call it, the effect is the same. They're protecting those who are the hold the real responsibility for the financial crisis, and they're penalizing the poor. And under the flag of convenience of seeking to manage the deficit, instead of fining the banks, instead of increasing taxes for the most wealthy to offset the deficit that countries find themselves in now, they are using this as a convenient cover to be able to slash welfare spending, slash health spending, slash education spending. Here in Britain, we've got a law coming in on April the 1st, which is called the bedroom tax. Now, if you're in social housing, if you're in project housing, I think you call it, and you have a spare bedroom, your benefits will be cut by 14% for the first extra bedroom that you have in your house and 25% for the second bedroom that you have in your house. And what that means, what that's meant is that thousands of poor and black people have been moved out the inner cities and most expensive areas of London and scattered throughout the country in cheaper housing, uprooting them from their communities and seeing their families destroyed grandparents and aunts and uncles move, having to move to the separate ends of the country. And so austerity is being used as a flag of convenience by governments who are really declaring almost a class war on the poor, the vulnerable, the black, the migrant. And we've seen that writ large here in Europe. At the moment, we've got 2.5 million people unemployed in a country of 50 million, 60 million people.
Wow.
And that is rising rapidly. And the biggest rise is amongst the black and ethnic minority communities.
It sounds like when you talk about black folks being moved out into the boondocks, that sounds like San Francisco with what we call gentrification, you know? So it's still the same at the end of the day. Right now, we're going to take a musical break. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking with Lee Jasper, former senior political advisor for the mayor in London, talking about racism and what is going on throughout the European Union, especially as it pertains to black folks. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
We have not met at this great Congress of African people to discuss unity with white people. That is not our problem today. Our problem and the gravest problem facing black people today is the unity of all black men the world over.
Today, for the first time, the black people of the West are beginning to look homeward. They're beginning to look back toward the mother continent of Africa, and they're gaining spiritual strength from these roots. The African continent is on the rise. The motherland is on the rise, fighting and seeking and fighting for his place in the sun. But his fight is putting the same spirit in the black people in the West, and we are also seeking and fighting for our place in the sun, and we will not rest until that place has been secured.
Everybody knows that all the people don't have liberties, all the people don't have freedom, all the people don't have justice, and all the people don't have power, but that means none of us do. Take this country and change it. Turn it upside down and put the last first and the first last. Not only for black people, but for all people.
All the civil rights leaders, for various reasons, refuse or can't take a stand or have to go along with the administration. That's their business. But I'm afraid that I know that justice is indivisible. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, everywhere, everywhere.
There's a couple of things that come to mind, Mr. Jasper. One of them, you talked about the rise of right-wing fascism in France and the hell that black people are capturing. Over here in the U.S., two of our most popular artists, Jay-Z and Kanye, did a song called, you know, I'll use the full word, Niggas in Paris. And they basically made it sound like everybody's blinging. But from what we heard from people who are black in Paris, it was almost an insult because that song was coming in the backdrop of austerity and the hell that people are capturing. Can you comment on that? You know, when you see that sort of depiction, when it's coming even from black folks here in the U.S. who are blinging and popping collars and champagne bottles versus, as you said, thousands being denied entrance onto the shores of Europe after being chased out of Africa because of European policies. How ironic of that, you know?
Well, I don't usually use the term because I despise it. But on this occasion, you are definitely a nigger in Paris. And I mean that in the worst sense of the word, because the Paris, the French police, the gendarmes, the way in which they racially abuse, arrest and harass, particularly the African community in Paris, the way in which those communities are, you've got to go to Paris to believe it. There is an outer ring in Paris, an outer ring of suburbs with virtually no transport systems, with no amenities. They are horrendous blocks of high-rise flats, apartments that go for mile and mile on end, festooned with people from our communities who are long-term unemployed, where drugs and criminality are rife, and they are virtually imprisoned in these areas as a consequence of the racism in France. In France, they have a government policy which says they don't recognize racism, that racism is impossible in France. And so as a consequence, they have no measures to tackle it, no measures to measure it. They have no political representation or virtually no political representation from African communities over there. And for, as a consequence, France has seen the expansion of white supremacist extreme right-wing ideological parties like Le Pen's come within a heartbeat of capturing the French presidential elections. And the economy of France, because the economy of France is so much supported by the French government, is a ticking time bomb for all of those communities in France, because the current level of economy is not sustainable. And once we've seen what's happening with Greece, and now we've seen what's happening with Cyprus, Italy and Spain, there is a real danger that the collapse of the Eurozone, the Euro currency, will lead to the largest explosion of racism and organized fascism in Europe we've ever seen. And I think that what I'd like to get over to our sisters and brothers in America is that we sit here in London, or we sit in Paris, or we sit in Spain, and we see these huge African-American superstars we consider our brothers and sisters fly into London, drive by our communities like we don't exist, end up in a 50,000, 60,000 stadium, do their concert, collect their paychecks, and fly right out again. The only exception I can think of currently to that rule is the Black Eyed Peas singer will.i.am, who at least donated £500,000 pounds, about $1 million of your dollars, to community organizations on his last trip over here. But that is the exception. And so when we hear people making songs like Niggers in Paris, as if everything is fine and dandy, everything, black people have equal rights in Europe, that Europe is some way elevated above America, well, they're living in a deluded dream. And our call is to artists who are coming to the United Kingdom, is stop drive-bying our communities. Stop flying in and out. There are 30 million Africans in Europe. Most of them have not even got citizenship. Most of black people in Europe don't have citizenship. Therefore, are not entitled to housing, not entitled to welfare assistance. We in Britain, we're lucky because we have followed the struggle in America and fought for our rights and got our citizenship. But the vast majority of African humanity in Europe, over 80%, will be disenfranchised to the point where they can't vote. They don't have a passport. They're in the country, but they can't leave, because if they leave, they never get back in. They're on the run from the law. They're chased by immigration deportation squads. People need to know in America that in Europe, we're catching hell, and we really need the support of some conscious artists to raise up these issues and work in solidarity with us, not simply come here and take the money and run.
You know, it's interesting. We're talking with Lee Jasper in the UK right now, if you're just tuning in. Many people listening to this would be like, well, why are they immigrating to to Europe? And, you know, again, if you can put this into context, you know, here, the question might be asked, well, why would all these people from Mexico and Central America come to the U.S.? But it's U.S. policies in Latin America that have decimated entire, you know, countries that have led to an influx of people coming here. It seems like, you know, in Europe, it's the colonization and the continued policies of colonization whether it's France and Mali and London, I mean, not London, but the UK and their involvement in places like Libya and other places that have led to all these 30 million people needing to go to flee because of policies. Am I correct in understanding that?
Well, the 30 million people in Europe are historical communities who've been there for some time. Some of them are recently arrived migrants, but most of them are historical communities that were first brought over in the 60s and 70s to work in the factories, but never given citizenship, never given status, never given citizenship rights. And so you've got a historical legacy of communities who've been there for some time, and that has been added to by a recent wave of new migrants who are escaping the hell of the British and NATO and US interventions in Africa that have been pursued in the name of democracy and human rights, but have unleashed the most terrifying racism by Al-Qaeda-type forces who are armed to the teeth with the tax dollars of both US and British people, and whose sole focus is a racial cleansing of that area. So if you're African and you're Christian, you are the enemy in Africa right now. And your pursuer is not so much Western forces, but armed renegade Al-Qaeda-type terrorist groups who are seeking to impose their Sharia law in those particular areas. They don't reflect mainstream Muslim society, and mainstream Muslim communities in Europe will condemn them. But nevertheless, the reality has to be faced that the instability being caused in Africa by Western intervention is leading to an exodus of Africans in that area who are seeking to access Europe in order to feed their families and get a better life. And when they arrive here, they're catching hell.
Right. You know, as we close out, I wanted to bring up the situation in France, because it was in 2005 we saw racial unrest break out into the streets. You know, it made the covers, it made the headlines. And then it was just a couple of years later, or maybe 3 or 4 years later, we saw a similar unrest in London, in Tottenham in particular. That unrest that we've seen with black folks in those respective countries, the end result now, is there, are people, first of all, getting what is going on? And is this, is some of the stuff that we're seeing a backlash to that anger that erupted in the streets? You know, in France, it was the case of the police, as you talked about. In London, it was also the case of the police with their stop and search and what have you.
Well, I think what we're seeing, to put it in context, is that as more and more people become unemployed and become restless and become active, either in seeking to fund or feed their families, or indeed begin to oppose the government's policies in terms of cutting public sector budgets and imposing penalties on the poor, the police are becoming ever more violent in their attempts to keep that community down. I've seen this in terms of the Occupy movement in the United States and the Kamani Grey demonstrations in Brooklyn, New York, that we see from over here. It seems as though there is a global consensus that it's time for police forces throughout the world to get tough with the poor, because as that unemployment rises and they get angry, the powers that be want their interests protected, and the green light there has therefore been given to these forces, police services, to crack down on the poor, on the vulnerable. Since the disturbances here in the United Kingdom, we've seen a 100% increase. I'll repeat that again, a 100% increase in the level of black youth going into jail in the United Kingdom. That's the backlash that we're facing here in the United Kingdom.
Wow.
In France, the African communities in France are seeing similar levels of imprisonment and attacks by the French police. In Greece, there's now an inquiry because the Greek police were seen to be actively engaged with the Greek Dawn Fascist Party in rounding up immigrants and beating them, seeking to run them out of town, lynch them, calling for them to be and their children to be deported immediately. So wherever we look, we see the kind of reactionary forces through police services right throughout the world, right throughout Europe, that are now beginning to crack down on some of the poorest communities. So we, trust me, we better join up the dots. And it used to be the position with the global dominance of the American economy. They used to say that when America sneezed, Europe caught a cold. But with the huge crisis in the Eurozone and the huge crisis in capitalism here in Europe, when the European economy crashes, the waves will be felt throughout the world, and in particular in America. And I think it's really time that people from all continents began to have a greater level of awareness of the global nature of this struggle. And as you quite rightly said, that we begin to join up these dots and seek to make whatever defense we can of the life that we now currently live. Because I can tell you very clearly, the trillions of dollars that the United Kingdom is printing, we are in the process of printing money in order to keep the economic system afloat. That's the level of crisis. We've printed over $750 billion in new notes just to keep the banks afloat. That is not sustainable in the long run. And when that bubble eventually bursts, as it will, the last time we had a crash like that gave rise to Nazi Germany in 1930 and the World War II. And we all saw what happened as a consequence of that. So these are enormously serious times for our people around the globe.
Real talk. We've been talking with former deputy senior political director of the mayor of London. His name is Lee Jasper. He now is the chair of the Race and Criminal Justice Assortion. Lee, what's the fight back right now? I know that our people do not just turn over, whether they're in the U.S. or in Europe, but what's the fight back in? What can we do?
Well, we're beginning now to have a people's assembly based on the Occupy movements and social movements, a huge people's assembly. We've got all the major trade unions signed up to this people's assembly. It's happening in June. It's being promoted now. Our view is to create a credible counterweight to the main political parties, all of which are conspiring together to protect the interests of the bankers and the wealthy at the expense of the poor. So we're gathering in the United Kingdom. There are similar people's assemblies being drawn up in Spain, in Italy, and in Greece, joining with us, hopefully providing a European framework for a European-wide movement that we can move forward to meet what will be some of the most challenging times that we've seen in a generation. So there is movements back today in a small town on the British coast called Brighton. There are thousands of students who gathered to protect a university, because through cuts, that university wishes to outsource every single one of its services. And they're resisting the outsource service. They are occupying as we speak at this moment. We say a big hi to the guys down at Brighton and Sussex University. We wish them well in their endeavors. But all over Europe, people are now seeing the scales are falling from their eyes. What they thought was peace and safety, what they thought was job security, what they thought was safety in the banking system. Do you know that in Cyprus today, they've decided that everybody who's got savings of 100,000 euros in a Cyprus bank will have 40% of that removed in order to bail Cyprus out. And so people are losing money and confidence in the European banking system, moving their money out of Europe. I think the smart money is looking at the markets today that $900 million is betting against the European Eurozone collapse in the next 2 weeks. Wow. The last time such amount of money was bet on the euro collapsing against the dollar was September the 10th, 2001. And we all know what happened on 9/11 the very next day. So these are monumentous times for our people, and I'm glad to be able to give you an update from this side of the pond. And I hope we can make this a regular feature so that we can at least seek to join the dots in making our opposition and stand against these people absolutely clear and united.
Well, Lee Jasper, we will definitely have you back on to keep us updated. We appreciate you taking time out. And it's important that we stay updated, because as we get inundated and overwhelmed with just the day-to-day survival, many people say, I don't got time to check into what's going on in Europe. I got to make ends meet over here. But they're very much connected. And I think, as you said, it's even more important that we really keep the dots connected, because we have black faces.
That's
who
right.
Are the heads of some of these policies. It's a Barack Obama as our president, you know, who oversaw and green-lighted NATO in Libya. It's a Jay-Z and a Kanye, who are very popular, that go over there and paint the vision that says through cultural means that everything's all right in France, when you just explained it's anything but. People are getting lynched in the streets, and they're singing about a song that gets nominated and actually wins a Grammy. So these are things that we all better be aware of, because if we don't keep our eye on the prize, we will be misled, even if it's a black face and a black body misleading us. So Lee Jasper, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.